8 seconds left. Down in the Leaf zone, this is going into the L column as the Los Angeles Kings win it by a score of 4-2. Ducks win the faceoff. Zegras is away at center. Zegras in over the line along with Fowler. They score!
Describe the confidence level in that room right now.
I still think it's very high. I mean, you know, we started off a lot worse last year, and everyone tried to put, you know, shambles in our brains, so it's not going to happen with us.
Confidence a little bit lower. We don't have more smile. Yeah. In the locker
room. Oh, it's never good when you just start the show with laughter.
No. Heads rolling on Halloween. Spooky season. We're watching a horror movie. Keith, a dead man walking. The corpse of Justin Hall. The skeleton of Austin Matthews. Laying a pumpkin of a weekend of the haunted house of the West Coast and the road trip through hell. Good morning. It's the Fan Morning Show. Happy Halloween. That's well done. Happy Halloween. Ooh.
So every Monday I've had a problem, undiagnosed. But I think Mitch Marner just may have given me the prognostication, the diagnosis, yeah. Rather. Shambles in the brain.
Shambles in the
They're
brain.
They're hard to get rid of on a Monday. And
shambles in our brains.
And a weekend through California, it's also hard to get rid of the shambles in our brains. Not exactly eloquent, but not off.
No.
The Maple Leafs are dealing with something. They are in a rough, rough spot right now.
It's a horror movie, Justin.
It really is. And I think the question now is, will heads roll on Halloween? Honestly. This, like, how awkward was that flight home last night? How uncomfortable was that for Sheldon Keefe?
Was he on the same plane?
Yeah.
<Ooh.
laughs> I mean, was there even like a was there a meaningful discussion on the way home with anyone? Like, are Marner and Keith sitting down? Is it silent?
Or are you just boozing to get it all like out of your system?
I don't just randomly want to be on a flight for no reason, but I would have loved to soak in the atmosphere on that flight. Because that's where the Leafs are. The Leafs are at a absolute critical point. We could be past it. Like, they could make big decisions. It could be over today. I feel like we kind of get a little bit of a...
Oh, no, it's 2 days sort of the media cycle, though. They got to face the media. They got to come back home. We're the bad guys, remember?
I'm sure there's a day off. I'm sure there's a day off here. And then they're going to get back to it. And I think the Tuesday firestorm will be intense. They got a little break here, a little time to reset. But I don't think anything's going to change right now. Like, they are in... Yeah, and it changed last year. It did. This is worse than last year now. It is officially worse than last year.
And everybody's showing the stats. Like, oh, they also started bad last year. It's like, isn't that the problem?
That's part of the problem for sure.
This is worse. The losses to the teams they've lost against are just embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the Anaheim Ducks are the worst team in the league. Every logistic or statistic is terrible.
They were literally getting hosed by the referees in the game.
Like, yeah,
actively,
you're right.
Actively being screwed over in favor of the Leafs. Two of the exact same things happened. One was called a penalty shot. The other was not. And then Sheldon Keefe with literally a Hail Mary challenge. And it's almost as though people were feeling sorry for the Maple Leafs at the higher up
the gods.
The offices, the whatever. Like, yeah, the gods. The people who actually make decisions. We're trying to help the Maple Leafs out last night, and still it wasn't enough. It was enough for 1 point. It was enough for the second point out of four on a road trip through Vegas and California. I guess we can lump in that Winnipeg game a full week ago, a full 9 days ago. It was a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can look at this four-game segment and really question everything about this team.
I don't even know where you begin to think about what can happen next, right? Also, yes, Chad from Peterborough commenting on my voice. Chad, I had a nice little trip back to Dartmouth. I cheered a lot for my fellow wearers of the big green.
There also might be some sort of obstruction going on right now.
Our Halloween costumes. I know we teased this last Thursday. Justin and I can't even stop laughing when I look at myself in the reflection in the mirror. Because, and I don't want to, we don't want to give it away yet, but we look ridiculous. I especially look ridiculous. There's a barrier between my face and the microphone. You will see eventually when we show you the costumes that we're wearing.
Probably see after, you're going to see after the show.
But
you
I'll
might,
put something
we
out.
Might have to do a photo or something.
It's amazing.
Just so people know
I
why.
I think we crushed it.
It is like your voice is slightly gone, but the thing on your face is also having an effect right now.
Yes, thanks, Chad. Okay, so.
Okay, where do we begin here? Where do we start? I don't even think it's worth breaking down anything from the game. Anything from
God,
the games
no.
over the weekend. Like, not, just, it's not even relevant. Because this isn't like, this isn't an actual effort. You
no.
know what I mean? It's not like, it's not what it's supposed to be. It's something far lesser than. So what's the point in even trying to like break down? We know there's issues. We know the defense isn't good enough. And the defense was completely shaken up. We know there are issues with the superstar players not playing at their peak. We know there are depth issues. But none of that really, really matters because there's something bigger going mm-hmm. on here. There's something bigger, whether it's like the flaws with this team, the way it was constructed, the way the coach's message is being passed along, whether the players are just resistant to a message, whether the players are just not playing up to their standard. Whatever it is, like that's the reason why they lost the game rather than, oh, you know, it was a bad pinch here and they lost a draw and Trevor Zegras is just the most talented player on the ice.
Other than two bad Mitch Marner moments, which leads into
yeah.
the bigger discussion about Mitch Marner and the Stars.
And that's where it makes sense to begin with him.
Yes.
Shambles in our brains.
That's how I feel trying to
shambles
dissect.
In our game.
Ooh, nice. Okay, so Mitch Marner clearly not in a great spot.
Yeah.
He has lowest
moment of his
career? I honestly think so. It looks like it. Man, sometimes I think he might cry. Like, and I'm not trying to be funny or, like, I actually think that it's weighing very heavily on him.
Yes.
And I've been in those positions where you're in a slump, but, like, it's all eyes on you. Your coach benches you and then puts
he's
you out.
He's literally pointing at you while he's talking about what went wrong on previous shifts.
He has that temper tantrum where he goes down the hallway and you tweeted out the assist to get the stick.
Yeah. Bobby Hastings with another assist. Shout out Bobby Hastings.
Yeah, he's killing it. He had to go down and have his moment in the tunnel. That's obviously caught on the broadcast. That's the clip. He's mm-hmm. asked about it post-game, and he takes a lot of it personally. Every time that something happens, it's split-screen with poor Mitch Marner on the bench. Yep.
He There's literally a has a chance him. To win the game.
He sure did.
Deeks out John Gibson and gets robbed. Like, it's. I mean, shambles is actually the exact correct word to use here. But I think the real... I mean, I think the thing moving forward is the relationship between him and Keefe. Is
it's
it not?
Gone.
Like, you can have a little tantrum in the back and break a stick. That's not a big deal. People do that. It's a passion.
Yeah, I don't really care about that too much. People are, like,
whatever.
Pissed off about it. It's like, whatever. Like, at least he's taking it seriously. He's not just, like, laughing on the bench.
Yeah, he got right back onto the ice. He had a scoring chance. I don't think he played necessarily all that well when he got back. The obstruction has been removed.
I had to take the thing off my face.
But I think there's something going on here. And I think it goes back to the elite players comment, maybe even before. Like, mm-hmm. it seems like these two are so far from the same page right now, and it is affecting both of their abilities to do their jobs. Like, I think Sheldon Keefe is... If Sheldon Keefe gets fired today, I understand it. I fully, fully understand it. And it's not because I think he's a bad coach. I think he's probably the best... I think he's a good coach. I think he's probably the best coach for this situation, or at least I thought he was. But he is failing a test right now. He is failing to deal with this adversity in a positive manner. He is failing to reel Mitch Marner back in. He's failing to reel the top guys back in. He's calling timeouts, ripping a star player in the timeout while they're still leading the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Leafs basically did not submit another good shift after that. So he is failing this test. I think he's a good coach, but he's not the right person for this exact moment. And I don't know if it's his fault that this moment was created. Is he just kind of a victim of the circumstance mm-hmm. while these players are just not playing well and they're trying to find someone to blame? I'm not sure what this is, but Keefe has lost control of this, it seems. And it seems really obvious.
And I will say, I think it's obviously more than on Sheldon Keefe. The players need to be held accountable. Like, they are just no effort, no pride, no resiliency to get through these games.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you're on the West Coast against two of the worst teams in the league. You can't string together any momentum. That's on you, too. That's on your leadership. I thought Sheldon Keefe, he's trying his best. He's putting the lines in a blender. He's screaming at players. Like, I don't know what else he can do.
I mean, he could do less, I guess.
He did less for a while, and
but he did less for, like, he's literally searching for whatever could possibly bring a solution. And that makes me feel like they've reached a level of disconnect that they're not going to be able to bridge, right? Like, if he's doing everything he can, and we go get to the roster and Kyle Dubas, because clearly it's not good enough.
No.
But he is trying everything, and they are not responding. Now, that says something about the players first, I think, but it says something about Sheldon Keefe's job security as well. Because when you're trying everything and it doesn't work, then you just don't have any opportunity to coach this team the way you want to. You don't have any opportunity to succeed because they're not letting you, right?
Mm-hmm. I said that quote 2 weeks ago, maybe, how Sheldon Keefe was given the keys to the house that he didn't build, and you liked it.
Yes.
But this is more evident than ever. He can't change the players. He can do whatever he can to inspire them. He can try to continue to make chemistry mid-game, hold your cards close to your heart and say, we're making lineup changes, but we're not going to tell you till the game starts. Like,
hold people accountable in the moment.
You can, and look like he tried to do that with the timeout and screaming.
Yeah.
Maybe he went in the dressing room last night and just laid it into them. Maybe he didn't. Maybe it was quiet. We don't know. But the major issue here is the way that the run it back is not working. And who's that on? Not Sheldon Keefe. It's on Kyle Dubas.
I feel like the smoking gun, too. We'll just finish the Keefe thing for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The smoking gun on Keefe and that something was wrong was night one. There goes one of my halls. it was night one. If you're not, like, he was unsettled the first time this team met adversity. They've literally only encountered adversity along the way, and he's had to find a different way to deal with it every stop, because every time he does something, it does not work. And again, if the coach is a problem, I think it's a player's problem first. That's just the general rule. Like, yes, they can wear it, they're welcome, but that's because the players are not responding to that coach anymore. And Sheldon Keefe's not a bad coach. Look at his record. It's great. It's a lot to do with the players, yeah. But he has figured out a way to take a team that was broken mm-hmm. and turn them into a really good team again, get the best out of them for several seasons, at least in the regular season. But I think that level of disconnect has been reached again, and there's really nothing he can do about it. It doesn't say anything about his coaching ability. It says everything about his relationship with these players right now.
So if Wednesday comes around and he's not the coach of the team, and you, Barry Trotz, yeah, but like he said, maybe he's going to take a couple more weeks or month.
Well,
who's out there that you want? And like, I don't understand that. I get it, but who's going in there?
Well, who's also making the decision?
This is where it gets
Kyle
to
Dubas
now.
is as vulnerable as Sheldon Keefe right now in terms of, like, lasting ability with this team.
But do you think that Kyle Dubas is going to...
Are they going to let Kyle Dubas make a decision at coach? Are they going to let him get rid of his guy and bring in a new guy?
With no contract. Lame duck is the weirdest word ever, but yes, I know that he's a lame duck GM.
Yeah.
So above him, where's the confidence level to say, hey, Kyle, here, keep making decisions. You have no contract. This is your do or die season. You go get a new coach. Sure. If it doesn't work, you're out of here anyway. You want to trade for some unproven star or some proven, who's out there? Who are you trading for? There's so many issues to how this next week goes. Are they going to act in desperation? Are they going to wait and say, you know, I also looked at their next couple games. They're going to play the Flyers, who are fifth in the league. They're going to play the Bruins, who are first in the league. I just saw the Bruins play. I was there, TD Garden Thursday night.
That's a good team.
Yo, man, they're good.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to say TD Garden's upgrades. That's an elite rink. It hurts me to say, but that place is spectacular. I was in the crowd with
salt in the wound right now
with Bruins
fans.
You
enjoying your time at a Bruins game?
Man, that atmosphere was amazing.
Mm.
Then they're going to play the Hurricanes, who are sixth in the league. Then they're going to play the Golden Knights, who are second in the league, in the next four games.
And they've wasted all these games against non-playoff teams.
Let's say they even split that. That's not good enough.
Well, if they split that, Keith might be all right. They might be able to save the season if they split that. I think they have an authority problem, though. It looks like Keith has lost his authority, his ability to coach the team. And Kyle Dubas has an authority problem, too, because he's maxed out 50 contracts. This is his team. This is his creation. His creation is failing. He doesn't have, like, I don't know how the Leafs ownership and brass could say to Kyle Dubas, without a deal, hey, make whatever move you want here.
They won't, and they can't.
So coach and GM have no authority.
So where's Brendan Shanahan?
Where do you move? Where do you go? So here's my question, and I put this on Twitter yesterday. Coach fired, GM fired. Which is going to elicit a better response or a greater response from the players?
I just don't see how they're not a tandem.
If you had to pick one.
In my position as a former player, losing your coach, I think, would make more of an impact right now with your play than losing your GM.
It could actually change something, right?
Yeah.
Like
that's forward-facing. You are always in communication. You are seeing your coach daily. He is making decisions. He is the guy behind you on the bench, running practice, making line decisions as well.
And if you truly don't like Keith,
and does it look like they want to play for him right now?
Playing for the next guy. That's definitely possible.
But we've gone through this.
We have gone through this. These players flat out don't deserve another coach. They don't.
That's the other thing. If you get rid of Sheldon Keefe, it's like you're just letting the players off like scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we'll get you another coach. Let's see if that works.
I think you're right. I think it is the coach.
Also, one other thing. I've never, like, can you fire a GM midseason and what, do you just pick another one up?
Oh, you could. Ooh. Same thing.
But yet, that to me is... Oh,
Barry Trotz wants to run the team.
That's different.
But then, like, is that the right move? Do you want to put the best coach, one of the best coaches ever, in a front office role that he's never proven himself in? That doesn't make any sense.
Hey, go make some decisions for a team that's like the major disaster zone.
Yeah.
With a window that's real tight and your superstar might not want to be here. Who knows?
I think they're stuck.
But so let's say they ride it out.
So change at coach. 58% of people agree with you. And I probably agree.
That's tight. How many votes?
Not many.
Well, like 100?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good sample size. You got to get your follower count up, Justin.
Thanks for...
Hey, everybody.
My Twitter's in shambles.
Go follow Justin Cuthbert.
Okay, so here's my argument, though, for GM. The comfort level with these guys is off the charts. They've been told for years and years and years, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm not trading you. We're winning with these four guys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, Willie. Don't worry, Mitch. Don't worry, Austin. You guys will always have each other, at least as long as I'm here. If the GM got fired today and someone came in and said, literally everything is on the table, do you not think that those four players might get their act together a
little
bit? You
think that they would actually do that? I'm not threatened if I'm Austin Matthews.
I'm not threatened if I'm Austin Matthews.
Maybe.
I might be threatened if I'm Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
I might be threatened if I'm William Nylander, even though he hasn't been much of the issue.
And John Tavares. He's been the guy for years. If you were going to get rid of him, you would have got rid of him.
I just think that the comfort level is part of the issue here. And if they are at least put on edge, like, we know they're talented players. We know what they did last season. Leafs couldn't lose a game last year for a long time. Bad goaltending didn't matter. These guys were good enough to just make up for it. And that's really the difference this year, is they're not good enough. They haven't been playing good enough to make up for all the things that are going wrong. But if you change that security, the insurance that they've had, the fact that they know they're untouchable. And doesn't that feel like a bit of the problem? That
yes.
These guys are untouchable? So if you make it so that they're not untouchable, that they're going to have to earn their spot again all over again, would that not elicit something?
You would hope so, Justin.
But who knows? And who knows how long that lasts? Like, these guys are just not, they're not operating at the same level professionally as so many other teams. You talk about Boston. We can do Boston if you
Man,
want.
Man, I might.
Think any
I'm
of this,
a big Boston
think
fan
any
now.
Of this, think any of this goes down under Patrice Bergeron's watch?
No.
Yeah, they've had issues, but they've had way worse teams, and they always figure out a way to be competitive. They had issues with Bruce Cassidy, and it kind of affected them. Guess what? They moved on, and now they look mm-hmm. way better mm-hmm. this year. So it can happen to all these teams. It can happen to any coach. Bruce Cassidy's a great coach, too. But they started to not like and not play for him, too. But the Maple Leafs haven't earned the right over and over again to, you know, have that call listened to, have their executive team respond to it, move on to that next coach. Bruce Cassidy's been there for a while. His leash ran out, mm-hmm. and maybe that's the same as Sheldon Keefe, but this has become, this is more of a player's issue in my mind than a coaching issue, full stop.
So how do the players turn it around? Right now, it's also interesting the different narratives coming out of them. Some of them are saying, Samsonov, God mm-hmm. love him. Vibes are bad. No smile. And then you have some players saying, yeah, no, confidence level's high. You know, we just got to keep grinding. It's like, well, we're all on the different pages here.
Well, that's
and who's that, coming out saying this is unacceptable that we are playing this way.
That's why Marner's become the face of it. Because everything that he says seems to be disingenuous. Like, clearly not everything's okay, dude. You got singled out. You went into the back to break a stick.
Mm-hmm.
You missed a shift. You were benched, probably for the first time in his career. I don't know. Mike Babcock probably did it at some point. And you come out and there's just a lack of honesty of, like, how you're actually feeling. We could go back into I didn't watch his whole thing, but I just saw what he said over Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it just doesn't seem like it's real. It doesn't seem like real emotions are being shared. The real emotions are either written on his face or seen on the ice, where he is clearly the most frustrated he's ever been as an NHL player. And part of it is that things aren't working on the ice, but part of it 100% is the situation that he's in with coach, GM, whatever it is. There's some level of discontent there with him for sure, and it is spreading through the team.
The text line is awakened this morning.
I figured it might be.
I feel like a lot of people want action,
mm-hmm.
but have different thoughts on what that action should be. I can read a couple for you. This is a good one. And I know that I've heard this idea from a couple other people as well. Mike from Asnaboya. Reminds me of when the Jays went to the West Coast last season and laid an egg in Seattle. Low point of the season, they came home and Charlie was a dead man walking a couple days later. Lots of parallels there.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just obvious. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, this isn't going to work, right? And that's what it felt with the Blue Jays. And it kind of feels like that now.
I was like, I knew that Charlie Montoya was going to get fired after that Seattle trip.
Mm-hmm.
Felt it in my core. It's going to happen. But this time I don't feel as
The difference is this, is we always knew Charlie was going to get fired.
And we knew that John Schneider.
We always knew John Schneider was there.
And I actually think there was a lot of excitement for John Schneider to come in and fill that role. He was being groomed for it. He knew the guys really well. Are you telling me that you know for sure who that person is going to step in? No.
Sheldon is John Schneider.
Mm. Someone in here says you should get Manny Malhotra to coach. From tiny Ontario, no name. Let Dubas and Keefe go. Let Shanny run out the season and interim coach Malhotra.
Well, with all due respect to Malhotra, his powers were taken from him at some point in the last couple of years. Like, he was coaching mm-hmm. either the offense or defense. I believe it was the offense. and those powers were stripped from him with Chenoweth coming in, Carberry coming in. So he's actually lost power within the Leafs organization. I don't see him gaining the throne anytime soon here.
Dana and Virgil. Firing the coach will enable the spoiled brat's crappy prima donna attitude. That's the idea that of that we were just bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of let them off the hook.
I think we should go into Dubas a little bit.
Yes.
And I'm the most guilty of this as anyone, that I looked at that roster, start of the year, and thought, there isn't a bad player here. Right?
What? There isn't a bad player there.
Wayne Simmons, but Wayne Simmons wasn't on the opening night roster.
You were fired up about...
I looked at that roster and was like, there's no holes here.
Justin Hall?
Well...
Their goaltending?
Justin Hall, I was mainly the forwards that I was excited about, right? Because you looked at it, they're not trying to be anything else. They're not trying to be a three-line team that's squeezing Simmons in and Clifford and whatever. They looked like what I said was the most Kyle Dubas team that Kyle Dubas has ever put on the ice.
Yeah, you said that.
And that in general is probably a good thing because a lot of what Kyle Dubas has done is really positive. But I'm starting to, and I'm watching that game, and I'm starting to remember the things that have happened over the last 5 years or so since he came in charge. And what strikes me is like the amount of talent loss this team has suffered is actually astounding.
You see Ilya Lyubushkin, who is
I didn't even write his name down. Ilya, I didn't even write his name down.
Mikheyev's having like his own record-breaking season over there.
He is?
Yeah. I'll tell you the stats.
Okay, let me run down some names here.
That Kyle, I got excited.
That Kyle Dubas is sent out the door or not re-signed. Nazem Kadri, Zach Hyman, Connor Brown, Trevor Moore, Mason Marchman, Carl Grundstrom, Sean Durzi. You mentioned Mikheyev, Kapanen, Janssen, Jared McCann. I threw down Alexander Barabanov as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
Like, there's one commonality with the key players, I think, with that, is that they are hard to play against. Kadri, hard to play against. Hyman, hard to play against. Marchman, Moore, even Grundstrom. What Kyle Dubas has created is a one-note team that does it one way. All the players that are hard to play against are shown the door, and the players that are easy to play against are brought in. Like, I believe in, I've been banging the David Camp drum forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's easy to play against, though. You know what I mean? Like, he will frustrate a top player or a top line, but you don't have to worry about him scoring with regularity. You don't have to worry about him punishing you with a check. If it's not Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, basically Kyle Dubas has brought in a bunch of players that are easy to play against. They are, among the elite teams, the easiest team to play against. Any team can go out there and feel confident in their ability to, I won't say compete, but like they're not, like there's no intimidation factor. They're not scared of playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. No one's scared of playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if you just shell up against Matthews and Marner and play physical against Nylander and Tavares, you pretty much you're 90% of the way there. That's mm-hmm. all you need to do to beat the Maple Leafs. And that, in a playoff series, it just gets exposed immediately, or at least it seems. This team is way, way, way too easy to play against. And it comes back to what Kyle Dubas believes in, which is, hey, I'm looking for, you know, I got my halves, my four guys, and guys that are just going to either break even or better with defensive responsibility first. And that, like, inflexibility, rigidity, just one thing, it's an undiversified group, and it's a group that can only do it one way and therefore gets exposed more often than not.
So then you break up that core four and you get some players that bring a little sandpaper, make it harder to play against them.
No, I just think you rue your mistakes. Like, I think you made too many mistakes, and they've now added up to the way they are now. Don't you see? Like, don't you?
I completely agree.
Like, it's really hard to look around.
Other than Wayne Simmons and Kyle Clifford, who are not staples of your team anymore.
They can't play anymore. Anyone who's, like, you watch Malgin, and it's like, okay.
Goal scorer.
and that was a nice finish. But he might be the easiest player in the NHL to play against, honestly.
Even Bunting, who stepped into that little bit of a...
Bunting's not hard to play against either.
No, but like I think last season he had that swagger that he could be a little bit chippy and he could get in there and bug you. I don't even see that anymore.
Bunting's not a threat physically.
No.
He gets in there and, you know, gets thrown around a little bit. I actually, just as a little exercise, went to hockeyfights.com and looked up Michael Bunting. He doesn't have a fight there. I don't know if it's ever been listed, but like he got in a little wrestling match yesterday with Kevin Shattenkirk. His last fight on hockeyfights.com was a wrestling match in the American Hockey League in 2019. So this, it's not like he's not a threat physically. He's an annoyance. And annoyances are great. They can work it tremendously well.
But that's your thing.
And I'm not even advocating for more fighting. I just think this team, top to bottom, is so easy to play against that a team like Arizona, San Jose, Anaheim can match up with you on a nightly basis because you can't overpower them. You don't have authority. You can't overrule what's going on. The only chance you have at sending someone, running them out of the barn, is by just scoring a bunch of goals. And right now,
and that's not working.
Those four players aren't playing well, and teams look like they know what to do against them, especially Matthews and Marner right now.
Let's read some texts. Roger from the 905. This has been the problem with the Leafs. They lack consequences for their actions. I believe both the GM and coach would be fired. At this point, it seems like the players want to be traded. If nothing gets done, 34 is definitely not re-signing.
Oh, there's the other conversation.
Mm-hmm.
July 1, right? Authority issue. That's back to it. Guess who's the most powerful player with the Toronto Maple Leafs? Or the most powerful person in the Toronto Maple Leafs organization? Might still be Larry Tannenbaum, but next it might be Austin Matthews, right? Like, who holds more power? And if Austin Matthews wants this, he's going to get this. And if they completely clear house, they get rid of Dubas, they get rid of Keefe, they make all these decisions, and they bring in people that Austin Matthews is put off by, then that's another huge issue as well. Now, you can't cater to him in every way, but it just adds another layer to that conversation of, like, what to do. It's just not clear because they've already exhausted pretty much all of their avenues here.
Tim from Allison thinks that what needs to happen is they need to break up the core four, trade Nylander now while his value is high, shake the team up in a big way, and remind the players that no one is safe.
I think if you got rid of Kyle Dubas right now, you put that reminder in there, into their head. Again, it's such an impossible discussion because it sounds so stupid to try to trade one of those players. To actively get worse sounds like the dumbest thing in the world, right? It just does. But how many times do we have to see this to understand that this mix does not work under multiple coaches? Millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars being invested into coaching. And it's just like, I'm not really feeling you, bud.
Similar wavelength is, if they fire Keefe at this point, just turn off your TV until they begin the teardown. It's the wrong message to send at this point. They already fired the coach for these players. You can't do it again.
It is definitely the wrong message to send. But don't you think it'll have a short-term positive effect?
Short-term isn't enough.
It's not, but it'll have a short-term positive effect. You might see the best Maple Leafs hockey the moment they get rid of Sheldon Keefe. Again, that's not going to last, though.
No.
Because this is not sustainable. It's proven. Right? It's proven.
Melissa from Ajax, they need to actually sit players for a game. Hall needs to go. The poor defense is slowly killing them. Their offense has no momentum when their defense is so poor.
Well, I guess that was part of the discussion, too, is like, why did Marner only sit one shift?
See, that bugged me. I've been sad
before.
Okay,
so give me your perspective on that.
If you're going to take a player out and make a message, you don't put him back out next shift and say, okay, well, actually, you go play with Matthews again.
Yeah, you know what?
Score.
We're going to need you on there to start overtime, and we're going to need this point from you, Mitch.
Like, kind of like if you're making a message, you make a message. One shift is nothing.
No, I completely. I do agree with you.
One time I got sat when I played professional hockey for an entire game because I chipped the puck out of the glass from my defensive zone. It was not justified. I'm a winger. I ripped the puck over the glass, but I sat for a whole game because it impacted.
Now, do you think that was excessive?
Yeah, but did it send a message? Did the other players look around the bench and say, holy, we can't make any mistakes here. We got to dial it in. The coach is serious.
Okay, so if your two brutal giveaways resulted in goals in a game that you should be dominating.
Two brutal giveaways resulted in a comeback that was not necessary. This team that they're playing against is the worst team in the league, and you start their momentum, and they tie the game up, and they end up winning in overtime, which obviously hadn't happened at that point. It's justified to sit someone for more than one shift.
It's definitely a justified benching. But the benching didn't last. Probably.
Because you're worried about his feelings?
No, because Keith looked around and thought, well, I'm not getting a goal from anyone else.
You're not going to get a goal from Kerfoot on a breakaway, let me tell you that.
No. It's hilarious that the two penalty shots after we ripped him off
didn't
the first one.
Did he miss the net on both of them?
I think Gibson got a piece of that. I'll give Gibson credit on that since no one wants to give John Gibson any credit anymore.
No, Gibson had some amazing saves last night.
He did.
How old is this guy? He's still got a little fire in him.
He's not that old. Everyone loves writing John Gibson off, though. When he was potentially available this summer, he was the worst goalie in the world.
And now he looks pretty good in one game.
I don't think his numbers are very good.
But just look at that one game.
I just think this is such a multi-layered issue that one thing doesn't fix everything. Kyle Dubas has built a team that's probably not good enough, and he's exhausted every resource. Sheldon Keefe looks like he's lost hold of the players, and the players look there like they're selective with whom they want to play for. There looks like there's a lack of leadership there inside the dressing room, too. Like, Mitch Marner just sort of reigns supreme. Is that what a winning team does?
No.
Just allows one player to, like, really affect the emotions of everybody else? Probably not. So, this looks pretty bleak right now. I don't know what's going to happen this week. Heads rolling on
Halloween,
I feel like that's a possibility.
Honestly, anything could happen this week. You love this head rolling on Halloween.
Yeah, I do. It's a good headline. Anyone can use it since I'm not writing headlines anymore.
Okay, I just want to play two clips before we quickly talk about NFL and then do the A-list and maybe show you our Halloween costumes because the text line is hungry to find out. Riley, who I often think of as a leader of this team, heart and soul of this team, he had
merit captain in my eyes.
Merit captain. He had a clip post-game.
It is what it is. It goes up and down. We felt pretty good about how we were playing there for a period of time. And obviously, you lose a game, it's not what you want. But you can get frustrated all you want. It's not going to help anything. You know, it's important that we keep our focus, keep our confidence, and just keep working. You can get frustrated all you want about a lot of different things. But, you know, this is on us. So, the players aren't in control of the outcome. So, we're not going to lose sight of that.
It's on the players, he says, but he also said that they were...
That was a heavy eye roll from you.
He also said that they were pretty comfortable with the way they were played for most of that.
Okay, you had the lead, but they didn't play well in that game when they were leading either.
Missed opportunity to turn that first part of that quote into not acceptable, not good enough, and it's on the players. Like, he had that second half of it, well, like, it's on us. It is on you right now to play with a little more pride. And then last clip here, Keefe talking about his job security.
I just going to focus on what I can do here. I got a job to do with the group. Our group has responded in the past. I thought we were responding well here today. Again, we look back to how we started last season. It was a pretty similar game in nature to this one that, you know, it's overtime and we get the win. It changes things for us. Obviously, we don't have that feeling going home here now, but we certainly have lots of reason to continue to work and get better. We got to get home and get rested, get some healthy bodies in our lineup here soon, too. So those kind of things will give us a boost in and of themselves.
That might be the last post-game clip we hear from him. You never know.
Maybe he gets the benefit of those healthy bodies coming back. I believe it's November 5th We can see Liljegren and Ben.
Are you pumped for Ben?
No. I think Liljegren can help them a little bit. I mean, that Philip Kroll guy had a epic breakout that more led to a goal. But
yeah, yesterday, more like Philip Fall.
Yeah, there you go. Nicely done. yeah, I mean, he's not an NHL player either. So they are relying on I wouldn't say multiple. They're relying on, obviously, a really banged-up defense core. Players playing way out of position. You've got they pulled out the full blender yesterday, and it resulted in Rasmus Sandin actually looking pretty good with Morgan Riley, TJ Brody having to prop up Justin Hall, and then that third pairing of Gio and Kroll is like, that's not sustainable. Like, none of those pairings are sustainable. None of them you would look at and be like, okay, that can last a playoff series. But again, they're down a couple defensemen, three if you want to count Ben. It just doesn't feel like the team's talented enough, especially in the defensive core.
Well, 595.90. Use your predictions. It's Halloween. Be like a genie with a crystal ball. What do you think happens in the next 2 days before they return to action against the fifth best team in the league, the Philadelphia Flyers, on Wednesday night? What do you want to do? What would you do? This is your chance. You guys listen. You're smart. You're big Leafs fans. Most of the people who listen to the show are having a vested interest in the Toronto Maple Leafs. What would you do? How about those Bills? Let's flip the script. They didn't cover, which kind of sucked. But
did you bet them?
No.
Me neither.
I didn't know how to feel about that game, but they rolled right through him again. They look unstoppable.
Yeah, it wasn't a perfect game from Josh Allen by any means. A couple interceptions. Mm-hmm. Really feisty, though. It's interesting.
There was a little bit of, bad blood between those guys.
And I don't even know where that bad blood would have, started. But I feel like the Bills are kind of bored.
Because people don't like Aaron Rodgers either, too.
I think the Bills are bored. I think the Bills are okay, we got to get ourselves fired up for these games where we're double-digit home favorites. Mm-hmm. And they're just okay, let's get a little chippy. Talk about authority and rule and supremacy and just trying to bully teams. That's what the Buffalo Bills do. They come out there and they throw bombs from Josh Allen over the top. They push you around. They just destroy your offensive line because their pass rush is the best in the league. And they don't even have to blitz to do it. That's a team that has a talent advantage and uses it.
And their best players are their best players consistently.
We really turned this Bills conversation to a Leaf conversation.
No, we
quickly.
Didn't. No, I'm just making statements. There's no correlation.
But that's what I admire about them right now.
And they're a team that came into the season with really high expectations, and they have met that bar.
And they could have just sulked a little bit on their way to the playoffs, right? We just have to get back there. We're that good. We're the best team in the league. We just have to get there again, and we can actually beat Kansas City this time. But instead, they're getting up for games against Green Bay, where, again, they're double-digit home favorites. And they look as chipper and into it as they've ever been. They just look like they're not leaving anything to chance. They are giving it their full effort at all times. And that is, when you mix that with talent, that's when you get special things to happen. When you have the talent that meets the personality that's right for the moment. The Bills have it. They have everything cooking right now.
Okay, one more football topic you get to choose before we take a break. We're going to have Ross Tucker on, of course. We went a little long with Leafs. Well, how could you not? We have Frank Saravelli at 7. We're going to do our winners and losers from the weekend.
I think Christian McCaffrey is probably the story of the weekend. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith might be one of the stories of the season. He's actually really good. And the Seahawks are pretty good, too. But McCaffrey suddenly looking worth the investment. We had Charles Davis on two Fridays ago.
I missed Charles Davis last Friday.
You missed him last Friday.
How was he? Did he say he missed me?
You did not come up. I'm sorry.
What?
I didn't want to lean on that crutch. I wanted to see if I had a little chemistry with Charles.
Did you?
It's probably not the same as yours. Anyway, he said that he had to lie down when he saw the return. Well, Christian McCaffrey looked worth the return, which is almost an entire draft, after rushing for a touchdown, receiving a touchdown, and throwing for a touchdown.
Was that
a
triple crown?
He looks like a weapon. and the guy that could potentially, they played without Deebo Samuel, push this team over the top. Like, if you have that many playmakers around Jimmy Garoppolo, who's already gone to a Super Bowl, why wouldn't they be able to do it again? They looked really, really good. And the Rams looked terrible.
And the New York team's lost.
Yeah, that party.
And the Eagles are 7-0.
That party might be over.
The Eagles are 7-0.
And they have the easiest schedule in the league.
Will anybody ever beat the Eagles? My column with Ross Tucker. You know he's fired up. His Eagles.
He doesn't, like, go crazy about them, though. Like, he's kind of reserved when it comes to the Eagles.
I don't know if he will this time.
It's like he doesn't want to get ahead of himself.
Well, I think he could this time. They just continue to put up wins. I mean, it was the Steelers, but still.
Yeah.
All right. 595.90. Also, happy Halloween to everybody. What are your favorite parts about Halloween? What are your least favorite parts about Halloween? Best of, worst of. We'll talk about that throughout the show as well. But let's get some fun positivity in the A-list. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's the Fan Morning Show. Happy Halloween. I hope you have some guilt-free chocolate today. You just open that gullet and you have a bunch of Kit Kats.
Oh, man, guilt-free chocolate is
one of the best parts about Halloween.
It really is.
Who cares what you do today? You want to eat 6 bags of chips? Not that I don't do that often. You just do it. They're snack size. Who cares?
Little treat with coffee.
Yeah.
Little treat with lunch.
Why not?
Maybe a little treat after dinner.
You're going to have lots left over, too, so keep it for tomorrow.
Oh, I'm... See.
Or do you...
We're going to be sprinkling in our best of, worst of. I'll give you a quick worst. I think ever since I got my driver's license, I've had to run out and get candy because I've eaten too much of it prior to Halloween.
That's a
on my way
move.
Home. On my way home, I'm picking up 100 chocolate bars. Full price.
Because you live in a neighborhood now.
Yes. I gotta dole
it out. Oh, that's exciting.
I've probably eaten, I would say 60% of the candy has been eaten.
Justin!
It's awful. I can't stop.
Oh, no. The poor kids that
are... No, I mean, it's just I have to go out and get another box, full price, because I can't control myself.
And you definitely, you're not a big candy bar guy. You're the baby candies.
What do you mean?
The baby chocolates. You're not full-size
chocolate bars.
No,
that's what I'm saying
bars.
Is, like, there's no... Oh, no. Well, even...
Cheapskate.
There's not even... Come on. There's not even, like... There isn't really a situation in my life where I would eat a full chocolate bar. But when mini chocolate bars are around me,
yeah, you
it's,
just,
I'm like, unrestrained. Like, I can't be restrained.
Because
like,
they're
I'm just
cute.
Like,
it's a little bite-size.
Yeah, it's just a little treat.
Remember those 2-bite brownies?
Of course.
Yeah, you have, like, 17 of them, and it's fine. But
You've
you go eat
tray.
A regular brownie, and you feel like a pig. Okay, let's do
all
the
about
A-list.
Optics.
The A-list.
Now, it's time for
A-yo.
The A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Our costumes are A-list worthy. We will divulge those later, but mine's starting to make me a little lightheaded because there's scent involved a little bit.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, yours is a little bit more complex than mine. I just hope you don't pass out.
I'm getting a little woo. Okay, this is a little woo. I don't know what they're doing here, but Amazon is trying their own Manning cast. LeBron James.
Oh God.
Is going to host Thursday Night Football in the middle of his dismal season. First of all, that's a terrible. Like the Lakers suck, and this guy's going to go on a little. Side hustle and host Thursday Night Football with like his podcast with the shop. They're trying to steal the Manning cast vibes. You know, he's a football fan. He was rated as a number one overall prospect in the state of Ohio coming out of high school, which I did not know. He decided to go the basketball route. Obviously the right call, but
a decent decision.
Yeah, I think that was for the best. But the Thursday Night Football hasn't been a success in my perspective. It's been fine. Remember, they dude perfect. They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's not totally clicking.
So he's doing this on November 17th. Even like last...
Is it just a one-off?
Well, depends. Taylor Swift did something last Thursday with her album and Midnights or whatever, like trying to get people fired up for this. But I think this is a no for me.
I think I'm out on LeBron. I think I'm done with LeBron. Like, right. I feel like I'm never going to be like... I'm never going to care about something he's doing ever again. I feel like that's a good hot take.
I like
because
that.
He's not going to play. The Lakers are done. He's not going to go to another team unless his son's playing for it. If his son's playing for that team, they're probably not going to be... Not that we need Bronny shade, but, like, they're not a serious team if they're picking up a guy who doesn't belong in the NBA just to get the 40-year-old father. Like, doesn't make any sense. I think LeBron's done on the court, pretty much. And anything he does outside of the court, I'm not sure I'm going to be interested in.
Well, you might get a chance to try it on the 17th of November.
It may be forced upon me.
Well, you'll have to watch, yeah. The matchup will be the Titans and the Packers.
I might skip that, too.
Sure. one last one here. So do you have $333,333? If you do, you can have dinner with Scottie Pippen.
Okay.
Neiman Marcus in their Christmas catalog. Yeah, Christmas is around the corner. That's the other thing about Halloween. The second we hit November 1st tomorrow, no longer pumpkin spice season. Starbucks changes their cups to Christmas. You go to Dollarama, nope, never. You're not seeing anything. You're seeing bells and whistles and bows. Anyway, Neiman Marcus is already in the market. You get to meet Scottie Pippen and his son in an ultimate...
And his son.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Well, then, of course, I'll carve out $333,000.
This is what it says. It's in the their catalog. Like, how many people are getting to buy this? This is your exclusive opportunity to play 2-on-2 basketball. I didn't know that, actually. That makes it a little better. You're not just going to dinner. With the legendary Scottie Pippen and his son, Scottie Pippen Jr., in L.A. I don't know.
I mean...
Who's buying this, first of all? I would love to know.
Neiman Marcus, you said?
Yeah.
That's like a clothing store, right?
Yeah, they're like an iconic.
Why would they be?
That's what,
why?
I don't.
Like, why?
They
why,
don't
why?
Need that.
I mean, I guess they don't. But they're also, it's not to their benefit. It feels like this is exclusively to Scottie Pippen's benefit. And I don't know what he would, I mean, I get that. Like, people like, oh, cameos. They're trying to, you know, make a little money on the side. But like.
They're going to donate some of the purchase.
Unless Scottie Pippen is telling me tales that I could use to write a book on the Bulls, then I'm not interested.
If I had $333,333, this is probably the last thing I would spend on that.
It would be up there for me.
Anyway, if you're listening and you have that much money...
You're a big Scottie Pippen
fan. Definitely haven't been betting the Waken Rake.
Wow.
You know who's listening? Unibet. They have $333,333
tomorrow. They're playing basketball with Scottie Pippen.
Poor picks.
Over the holiday season.
Anyway, Christmas around the corner. Is that on your wish list?
It is not on mine.
Maybe a leaf turnaround. We'll talk about that with Frank Saravelli next on the Fan Morning Show. And keep your Halloween texts coming. 590, 590. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish.